it's a possibility.
It is a possibility. And I feel like the Bassin's juju is somehow now in the zeitgeist.
Everyone's like,
it's there.
Why do I see
that's the
fishing
best
tournaments in my dreams?
Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, usually obscure, 20 years or older, that neither of us have played, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, not Link from Legend of Zelda. And to my right...
And I am the ever-pretty, but also not Zelda, from Legend of Zelda.
And if that makes no sense to you, you will find out soon. Hey, we have a Discord server, and we love to hear from you. There's a place on there where you can add the retro question of the week, or you can talk about the game that's chosen, or even just talk amongst yourselves and chat with us. It's absolutely free. It's in the show notes. So jump on down to that link tree and join the Discord. It's fun.
Make some friends without touching grass.
Yeah, grass. And we want some podcast reviews. So if you've already given us one, thank you. Thank you so much. But if you're new to the show or you haven't left one yet and you continue to listen, it really helps us out. So we appreciate anybody who gives us a review on Apple or even on Spotify. I think Spotify, you just click stars. You don't really have to type anything
else. I don't remember it being able to give you like feedback. It's more.
No, it just stars.
Crap.
They don't have time for that. Their servers. So, yeah, that's really it. I got all that out of the way. So here's a retro question of the week. Mr. Miller, what was the first game to make you cry?
Tear-jerking games. Ooh. No. You know, I a lot of the older games I didn't get into things that were making me emotional until like later.
It's still, I can just be the first game. It doesn't matter age.
It's probably... It'd probably be the first Mass Effect.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is a heavy game.
It's heavy.
Yeah. That is a great game, too. I think the best of the three, but I'm alone there.
I like two.
Two is good.
But
it's good.
I'm also
but I'm like, still salty. They got rid of some things. Like I said, I want two's combat, and I want the first game.
Oh, you want the Mako. You want the Mako back.
I want the Mako, man. Give me back the Mako. My answer, I recall... being pretty emotional about Super Metroid's ending.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when... spoiler alert.
Yeah.
For people who haven't played this massively famous game. When the little Metroid comes and helps you and you're about to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And sacrifices its life to save you. And then you just become, like, Super Saiyan Samus. That was, like... As a kid, I kind of, like... I was a little teary-eyed. I was like, oh, I'm doing this for you. Let's get him! You know? But, yeah, those are... That's what I recall. There might have been something before it. Definitely a lot after. A lot of RPGs got me a little emotional.
See, that's the thing. It's like it wasn't until games were getting much more cinematic.
Yeah.
That I started actually like connecting.
Right. That's true. It's kind of harder these days. But then again, I haven't played a lot of AAA titles in the last 5 years. I mean, now that I have the Steam Deck, I've got to catch up on that. But I can't remember the last
Dragon Age 2 got me really bad as well.
I tried the Dragon Age games, man. I didn't like them. I can't play them. I don't know what it is. I tried. Just one of those things. Didn't click.
Not everybody's cup of tea.
Nah. So anyways, yeah, there's the answer. Before we get into this week's game, something amazing happened today, and I have to share it with you and our listeners.
Okay.
So I listened to this show called New Game Plus. Our show is actually kind of inspired by theirs.
Okay.
I kind of made an amalgamation of different ideas from shows that I listened to create Super Garbage Day. They're also a random retro game review show, and they pick a game randomly every week, but we have different rules.
Mm.
This week, they chose a game that was in the pool, so I'm just going to go ahead and play this for you.
Okay.
The clip from
let's hear it.
This week's episode.
Okay, let's go.
The randomizer giveth.
Oh, no.
And the randomizer taketh.
Wait, so we're going to unplay a game this week? What does that even mean?
Again, we had games in here like sucks. Final Fantasy 12 and Super Stop, Mario 64 and is. Metal Gear Solid 3 and
yeah.
Some Castlevania games. And the game that was selected is a 1994
okay.
game for the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
It is a tournament-based fishing video game.
Okay.
Submitted by Super Garbage Day. For the next 7 days, we're playing a game that I'm pretty confident that I played as a rental called Bassin's Black Bass with Hank Parker.
don't count
don't
out
sleep the, dude, don't sleep on fishing games.
Fishing games, some of those are fun.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Oh,
shout out to New Game Plus. They've got us all three of those guys have to spend the next 7 days playing and reviewing in granular detail Bassin's Black Bass.
Oh, if we get it at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. If today's a Patreon pick day for us, too.
It's a possibility.
It is a possibility. And I feel like the Bassin's juju is somehow now in the zeitgeist.
Everyone's like,
it's there.
Why do I see
that's the
fishing
best,
tournaments in my dreams?
That's the best Bassin I've ever done. I mean, I added that. I mean, their list of games that you can submit for them to pick is like in the hundreds.
You're just like, let's try it.
Yeah. Their Discord has a ridiculous amount of people on it. You should see the memes, man.
Yeah.
They're great. I'll put some on our Discord. But yeah, so that was that floored me today while I was working.
And that's
I
heard amazing. That,
and I heard, as he showed it, you know, or as he was, God, whistle. It just totally sidetracked me. As he was revealing it, I was like, no way. And it kept getting, I was like, 94.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo. But once he said, fishing tournament,
they're like,
I was like, this is my game.
Yeah, there's no way it could be anything else.
You know, I hope they like it. I don't know. I've listened to a lot of their episodes. They all three have different, I think.
Well, from what you've told me, it's got like heavy RPG elements, and it's like actually a finely crafted RPG with these good.
I do like the game. Even on when I was a guest on the Main Quest podcast, he asked me about it. He said, what's up with Bassin's Black Bass and this ongoing joke? And I, like I said, it's like I said last episode, it just happened. And now it's just become this almost Rick Roll level, you know, maybe not that big, but
I mean, for me, at least
I'm trying. So, wow. So next week, check out their episode on Bassin's Black Bass. Oh, boy. With Hank Parker. So anyways, let's get into this week's game on our show. And that game is Newtopia 2 on the TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah!
Newtopia 2 is a 1991 action role-playing video game developed and published by Japan in Hudson Soft. Nope, that was backwards. It's just going to keep going.
Japan, the whole country developed this game.
Yeah, have you heard that company, Japan? They got some bangers. And in North America by Turbo Technologies for the TurboGrafx-16. It is the sequel to Newtopia, if you didn't guess that, which was released earlier in 1989. In this game, the player takes control of Jazita's. Jazita's son, who embarks on a quest to both save his father and defeat the returning evil demon Dearth.
I pronounced it Jazetta.
Okay. I put Jazita because I don't know why.
But it was also, it did feel like they just grabbed every consonant they could find and threw it at the wall and then put some vowels in between.
I know. I was like, why can't you just go with like Carl?
The hero Carl.
If I get the name myself, then why don't you just put like whatever senior, you know? Of course, I went as Beef. But okay, so that is the game. Here's a little bit of trivia about it. It was headed by the director and designer, Shigeki Fujiwara.
Nailed it.
Newtopia 2 was created by a mostly different team at Hudson Soft, who did not work on the first Newtopia. Interesting. First released on the TurboGrafx-16, the game has since been re-released through downloadable services such as the Virtual Console, the PlayStation Network, surprising, in addition to being included on the PC Engine Mini Console. Okay. I just wanted to get that out of the way because before we get into this game. Okay, let's get into the first impressions. Well, I think we're going to see eye to eye here, aren't we?
Yeah. Ow.
This is a shameless ripoff.
I the entire time I wanted to just say it over text, but you know.
We held back.
Yeah. How did they not get sued?
How did into they not the get sued?
Utter depths of hell.
Okay, so my first impression was that I fired it up and I liked the title screen. I liked the TurboGrafx-16. I have the Mini. And I just, it was a system I never played and knew nothing about until I bought the Mini. And I was so, like,
this is my first experience with it.
Yeah. Good luck getting a hold of one of those Minis now, by the way. They're $450.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But that's about the same as a PS5.
You can actually get a TurboGrafx-16 and like a handful of games for less than the Mini.
Wow.
So I hit start and I see, I'll enter your name. I'm like, oh, this is a little familiar. Okay. No big deal. And then I put in my name, Beef. And of course, already out the gate, I'm a little annoyed with the programming because as soon as it puts me right into the first screen, which is some kind of, it's Zelda.
Yeah.
It's Zelda.
Yep.
It's a Zelda 1 and Zelda 3 ripoff. It's ripping off both games.
Yeah.
But when they talk about me and the name I put in, because I didn't use the extra spaces, it just irks me. This might be an OCD thing. But those spaces are still there in the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Beef, space,
yeah,
comma. Anytime they talk about me, and I'm like, that's so lazy. To me, that's like amateur, right? I'm not a game developer, but I played enough now. Whoa.
Yeah, we're playing footsies over here. Yeah,
I'm getting excited about Bassins. But we don't have to do a Bassin joke. It's already
done.
Nothing's beating that.
The biggest Bassin joke is already dropped on us by the universe. Yeah.
We can take a break for a while. So, yeah. Controls are Zelda. I like they're Zelda controls. However, you can attack directionally, which I liked.
So does the Turbo Graphics controller have a more radial?
No. Oh, I kind of. Yeah, it does. It has one of those D-pads that has like the little like concave corners.
Okay.
Where you can like kind of put your thumb or slide it that way.
Because I was thinking it's like that would make that way more reliable.
It also only has two buttons, which is surprising because it was a 16-bit console that only.
Apparently. Well.
And turbo there controllers. There
might have been a version for it because I had an option to change from two button to like eight button mode.
Yeah, I think there was a peripheral that okay. was. I think I can't tell you what it looks like, but I saw that too. And that was also my assumption.
Okay.
Yeah. And it had turbo built into those controllers, which I thought was interesting.
That's so funny.
Well, they had a lot of shoot 'em ups on that console. Like a lot.
That's cheating.
I know, but
turbo mode is cheating.
I don't know. Well, the game's called Turbo, or the system's Turbo Graphics. Like they're trying to sell this turbo thing, but it has like one and two button, which I was like, that's a little outdated, but what? I'm not reviewing the console. Reviewing. Yeah. The Legend of Zelda 2 /1/3.
Link to the Past.
Actually, no 2. There's no 2
no,
in this.
No, no, because they didn't have the side-scrolling elements.
So ultimately, my first impression was this game looks like literally a game that happened between the first and second Zelda. Because it plays like the first Zelda with the overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And literally.
It's one. If you didn't look at any screenshots or anything, you're going to look at this and think like.
It's like a fan.
Oh, was this like. A fan-made Zelda?
Yeah. But it has kind of Zelda 3 graphics.
Yeah.
So imagine you were playing Zelda 1. I think people have done this. And you took Zelda 1, but you gave it Zelda 3 graphics.
Just
and then you rip it off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's that, man. I mean, if you're a lawyer in 1991 representing Nintendo... Yeah,
I would have gone for the jugular.
How?
I would have. It's a cut and dry case.
How did you lose?
Yeah, so I think they were just like, huh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Let them play with their little TurboGrafx-16.
We made two of them.
We'll buy it later.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. All right. Let's talk about the gameplay. So the gameplay is top down.
Hey, have you heard of this game called Legend of Zelda?
It's just Zelda. It's literally Zelda. And it's not even like the good, like it looks like Zelda 3, but it plays like Zelda 1.
Uh-huh.
You only have two slots. Well, I guess you have that too, but it's just like the diversity isn't there. It's very cut and dry. This weapon does this. It's not.
I did like some of the weapons though, like the fire staff.
Yeah,
how it has based on your health, it does different effects.
Yeah, but I thought like the powered up. So the fire staff, you get that randomly at some point in the game, and The game's like very generous. I feel like it's very generous. It gives you a lot of life to start with.
You start with four, I think.
Yeah, four or five.
Then you start with four, and then if you just go like north and left, you immediately get five.
Yeah, they just hand stuff to you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you start in like I'll wait till graphics audio for this, but
I got words about the hovels that people live in. So
you have the eight directional attack, which I liked. Some of the weapons are kind of OP. Like the fire staff's pretty OP to get it that early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was finding myself, it made the game significantly easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get like a better sword and better armor pretty quickly.
I did kind of like you actually like improved. Unlike in the Zelda games, a lot of time it was just, you just get more hearts.
Right.
But this one, like you actually get armor and you get to absorb a blow and.
Yeah. But I thought it was weird. You have like the people that give you an extra life. And then you have the people that are like the guys in the cave who like they're supposed to make your strength go up. But all they do is give you more slots for bombs, or like you're allowed to carry more bombs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not strength. Like,
well, I tell that to Samus.
Yeah. OK, that's fair. That's a fair point. So you go around and you pretty much the story is your dad was in the first game. So you played as your father in the first one. And then and this is the second one. You're his son. And he has been kidnapped by a monster, blah, 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 generic. And you got to go through, traverse this giant Zelda-like map. And
go to the temples.
Nope, they're called the labyrinths.
Labyrinths.
Yeah.
But
they called them labyrinths.
We know what we're about.
Yeah.
They're temples.
And you also enter them the same way you do on Zelda 1, where you just go find them on the map. And then you see this big mouth or whatever.
Oh, there's nothing. Definitely nothing fucky going on there.
And then you just go into the labyrinths, which are so just like Zelda 1. They're just the dungeons.
Same kind of layout, too, where it's just a grid.
Yep.
With random rooms in there.
Yep.
You don't even have to find the compass in this one. You always have a compass.
Yeah. And I didn't ever use it.
Me either. I just ran around until I cleared the dungeon.
Easy,
it's how I played Zelda. You run until you clear the dungeon. Like
I didn't really care about the maps until and Zelda 1 until like dungeon 4, 5, or 6 later on. Because that's like when I was like,
because when you have to do a whole bunch of backtracking and stuff.
So you got that, and you got a boss at the end of every dungeon, and it gives you an item. It's very generic. It's just not as tight as Zelda.
No, and they definitely just did the, remember that mechanic we taught you last dungeon?
Yeah.
Do that again, plus this mechanic.
Yeah, it's very...
They didn't really flip it on its head ever.
Also, there's too many NPCs to talk to that do absolutely nothing but tell you the most baseline stuff you already knew.
There's zero exploration other than just trying to find the next...
I blew up a wall that looked suspicious. And I went inside, and I think the guy told me to use bombs to blow up walls. And I was like, that's how I got in here.
Yeah.
What? And it really feels like the game is aimed for like an 8-year-old kid. Well,
I think I don't know which one you're talking about, where it's like, there's a statue of a guy on this wall.
Right.
It's probably a marker. And there's a door next to it.
Yes.
And the guy in there is just like, people mark the statues to show where they're hiding. And then blow it up. And then the guy inside is just like, if you see a suspicious wall in a labyrinth, you should probably blow it up. And I'm like, the exact same thing. Yeah.
It's the worst handholding I've ever seen a game do. That wasn't like Barney's hide and seek or like Elmo teaches you 1, 2, 3s. Because there was a section where it's like an old man who lives under 8 rocks has been waiting to give you an item. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll keep an eye out for that. I go
next screen.
Next screen over. And there are 8 rocks. And I push one of them and he's like, I've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man.
I actually think that's the guy who gives you the fire staff.
That's how you get the fire staff.
Literally, they're like, here's the most powerful weapon in the game. Thank God you found me.
Oh, man. And then I just wasn't challenged as I progressed further through the dungeons and got to like, I think I got to like the 4th or 5th dungeon before I was like just done. I noticed that the dungeon's complexity didn't start being more, or they didn't become increasingly challenging. They became more backtracky and annoying.
Uh-huh.
And I don't appreciate having to push a stone to open a door 30 freaking times.
Especially when you've already solved the puzzle.
Yeah. Now you're just wasting my time.
I noticed this even with the dialogue options. If you walk into a room that has like a plot device in it, you have to go through that dialogue every time you go through that
every
room.
Every time.
It's like, I literally just came back because I was like, oh, I got to go buy potions.
You
forgot.
You can't skip it. And it like auto walks you up to the NPC to deliver the line that you've already heard
a million times.
And I'm like, I get it. Let me just skip past this. And then you fight the bosses, which I thought the bosses were probably the best part of the game.
They are. They're
well thought out.
I really liked the death moths.
Yeah.
Those are
the
fun.
Two of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually had to take a couple tries to get them. But I at one point I was like, man, I died the first time. And the second time I didn't get hit once.
Yep.
I was like, I just had to figure this out.
Oh, if I stand behind you and burn you with the fire staff.
Yeah. That's what made that staff OP. You know? But, you know, I also have to give it props. It has a pretty diverse collection of enemies. There was no lack of, like, I didn't see a lot of like color swapping, but then again, I didn't get past to the fifth area, so
I had no desire.
I didn't either. And the game, say that there's a lot of enemies,
and that says something though when you're just like, yeah, I'm over it.
And also, the enemies are, some of them are just direct ripoffs of Zelda enemies.
Oh, the pigs.
Oh, the
100%
from the scorpion guys.
The scorpion guys
are supposed to be the horse guys for the first one.
This is
Darknuts.
Yep, they're like, okay, so you just combined. They literally were just like, what did Nintendo put out?
Yeah,
just like change the colors, and so it doesn't look like we copied. I mean, like
then they have like zombies, like bloody mouths, and then like skeletons, and then like things that look like walking butts, but then they open up and they have wings. And I just,
oh yeah, the bats. They're supposed to be bats, but I was just like,
yeah, they look
thick. What are these little ass monsters?
I thought they were just walking thickness. But yeah, it was just totally. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so phoned in. This game, literally, the gameplay mechanics and its development seems like it was definitely done by a B, maybe a C team.
Yeah,
and knowing that, you know, the team that worked on the first game didn't work on the second. Now I want to see what up with the first game.
I did read that the first game is much harder.
Well, how could it not be?
Yeah.
This game is too easy.
But there was something right at the beginning that just made me chuckle, where there's like one of the first NPCs you could talk to. He's just like, hey, look, this is just like the first game. What a great sequel.
I know.
It's like, what?
Okay, now we have fourth wall self-awareness. There were a couple times when I was playing this game that out loud I went, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
There's no way they got away with this. And I'm wondering, how much stuff did they have to take out?
Oh, I think Nintendo looked at the sales numbers probably and was just like,
they didn't really sales numbers other than the consoles.
And just be like, we don't got to fight
this. We're talking Nintendo.
I know. They'll come after the guy who's printing a t-shirt that says,
bro. Talk about Nintendo in their height.
Yeah.
They're having a Sega award, bro. I think
there must have been something else.
I don't think they cared though. I think you're right.
I think there must have been something else going on that preoccupied their lawyers.
Yeah.
Like maybe they were, I don't know, going after the guy who was trying to make a Mario clone or something.
Yeah. But not the Zelda clone.
But well, because they were just releasing the Super Nintendo. So maybe there was something.
Same year.
Something there. I don't know, because it makes no sense.
Well, I'm curious though. Did this game predate A Link to the Past? There's no way.
No, they're pretty much the same year.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So this is a rush job, right? I think they're just trying to cash in on. Okay. Well, you got anything to add to gameplay?
To gameplay.
Well, you know what? I actually forgot to add that some of the weapons were stupid. Like I save up for the boomerang. It's like 300 gold. It's like the most expensive thing. I'm like, sweet boomerang. This will be a cool weapon. I throw the boomerang at an enemy, then I go off the screen to the next screen, and I'm like, boomerang didn't come back. So I go back to that prior
screen. Nope, it's gone. You gotta go buy it again.
And it's gone. I paid 300 gold to throw a boomerang that didn't return to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Okay, so Newtopia 2 beat Link to the Past in America by 1 year.
What?
So Newtopia 2.
But it came out in Japan first.
Yeah. So Link to the Past came out in Japan first. But yeah. Newtopia 2 came out in America first. Because Link to the Past came out in America.
In 92.
They were trying to like, we got that new Zelda you itching for.
Yeah, look at this game.
Yeah.
People who don't own the system barely.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Well, good. Because if this came out across the board before Link to the Past, I'd have been extremely confused.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like, Link's Past is not still from this game. There's no way.
Yeah, because
there's no way.
Oh, did they actually? Hold on. New developments.
Oh, this just in.
It's just in. It actually beat the release date in Japan by 2 months.
What?
Yeah. Link to the Past came out in November of 91 in Japan. This came out in September of 91.
So is that how they didn't get sued?
Maybe because they were out first. But it's a blatant ripoff of their previous games.
It is, but it looks, there's a lot of stuff in there that looks like Link to the Past.
Right. So
I'm wondering if something.
I think somebody leaked it. They here's knew. What
I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here. Maybe somebody got a job on the Link to the Past team.
Got fired.
And then they went to the Newtopia team. Now that I find out it was a different team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if they're like, hey, this guy was working on the new Zelda. Hey, let's make another Newtopia. It's like, well, bro, those teams are working on other stuff. No, man, we'll make a new team.
It'll be exactly the same as the last one, only with different.
Weird.
Yeah, I think this was the Hudson Soft was just like, we squeaked by. Just be shh. Oof. Just make that money.
Unless they're paying royalties. I couldn't find anything on a lawsuit.
Yeah, don't poke Nintendo Bear.
What if Nintendo finds out about this now because of our podcast? They're like, hold the horses.
Like, wait a second. If that's the case.
They'd be paying like 95% royalties.
Kick down just a little bit.
That's right? How much. Yeah. Because we're owed that. Yeah, that's it's silly. I don't understand. It's like the biggest ripoff I've ever seen that got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say biggest. That seems pretty dramatic, but it's up there.
The fact that they got away with it without anything is pretty impressive.
It's so shameless. Insanely shameless ripoff. So, All right, graphics and audio. So,
hey, have you heard about this game called Legend of Zelda?
So we've kind of already gone over. I've gone over pretty much my bullet points. Matter of fact, I'm looking at them and I realize I said all of this stuff already in the first impressions.
Yeah.
However, there's one thing I do really like about this game. And it's the only thing in this game that's really good and is not ripping off Zelda. And that is the music. I actually like the music in this game.
The music is there. There are times when it's good.
Yeah.
And then there's times where I'm wondering if the chipset couldn't handle what the composer was trying to do.
Oh, because there's a little bit of like a.
That track you sent me in particular, the one where you're like, hey, can you metal-fy this? The drum beats are bad.
They are, but they're not in the game when I played it.
Yeah. See, so that's what I was thinking. Weird. I was like, what is going
on? I was playing the game. Is
this somebody's chiptunes version of
that link I sent you of that track? The name escapes me right now, but that link I sent you did not, the bass or whatever part of it, the drum part sounded crunchy and gross.
It's supposed to be like a triplet for like a snare drum, and that's all going to be in there. Sorry.
It's actually fitting,
but it's
I don't have to edit that out.
It's supposed to be like a triplet, but it's off, and it really really bugged me.
If you play the game I guess on my computer or my
I didn't notice it either
on my TurboGrafx-16 mini.
I mean, you have a mini, so
so actually I can legally anyways. I thought it sounded great on the emulator, and then I see that track, I was like, I should have checked it first, because like, oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, and I was wondering where I'm like, was that just because I was in the game? Like, I was just playing, and so there was something occupying my brain. But when
I went back to the game, I was like, is this the same track? I'm like, nah, it's slightly different.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
But no, the music is good in this. Whoever was the composer.
A lot of different. Anytime you go to a different section of the world, it changes into a completely different track. And I thought, like, this music composer is fantastic.
Which that's something I did not look up.
I didn't either, and I should have. But I'm not sure.
There were some tracks too where I was getting like Donkey Kong Country vibes.
Yeah, I mean, and I got zero Zelda vibes from at least the music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. It was composed by Kiite Hoshi, and they went on to do Soldier Blade and Super Bomberman 3.
Huh.
They also created all the sound effects in the game.
Interesting, yeah, because that's a name I've never heard.
Yeah.
But yeah, had some pretty decent some tracks in there.
Right when you start onto the world map, where I don't know why it's called the world map. The whole game is a world map, but when you first see enemies in the game, it plays that track, and man, that thing's a banger. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a dope track. Like, And every time I went in and came back out and restarted, I was like, yeah. It didn't really get I was dope. But yeah. So Kayete. It's not Kayete. Kieta Hoshi. Forgive me. I'm bad at pronunciation. But yeah, good stuff. Great composer. That's it, man. Everything else is.
That's the one you
sent
me.
He's playing it right now on that. I know that YouTube one, and it does sound like it's off.
Yeah,
the metronome's off for the drumming.
The drumming's off.
Huh? Weird.
We'll post a link in the Discord to the track we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. Also, fun fact: this game got pretty good reviews.
That's funny to me. So, well, of course it did, because it's. Now we're finding out it's the new Zelda before the new Zelda came out.
Yes, and I think it probably did satisfy some of that Zelda craving people had before the third, or yeah, like Link to the Past drop. Because number two was so wildly different.
And not, I'm just going to say it, not good.
No, I don't like that game. No. I don't understand. I keep revisiting it. It's one of those games that makes me feel weird. And I can't describe what it is. I don't know if anybody else out there has games that do this. Fester's Quest does this too. Makes me feel weird. I just get just the way it looks and sounds gives me a weird vibe.
Yeah. No, it's off-putting. It's uncomfortable. It's just off-putting.
It's unsettling. Uh-huh. So does Castlevania 2 does that too. But but I see where we're going here. Like, so they make a Zelda 1 part 2.
Before, yeah.
Yeah. Before Link to the Past came out and just smoked everybody. But yeah, that's it, man. I can't really. I've already discussed all how I feel about the visuals, and the music's really good. Oh, the towns are ugly.
Oh, the town. Oh, that's right. We didn't even talk about that.
The towns.
Everyone lives in the same 8x8
cave
square.
That's where the first place you start out. I guess your city. But then
the interiors.
I know.
Are the same for everywhere.
And they're not. They don't look like.
There's no interaction. It's.
I meant beautiful as in like you would expect a dank cave.
Oh yeah.
But they have like nice tables and bookshelves and like a carpet. And I'm like, that's not what I would have thought was going to happen.
It looks like you're walking into somebody's rock.
Yes. And then later on, you go to actual cities that have actual houses and a castle. And I'm like, why is he just poor? Is this just like his dad is like this superhero of the land and they're just living in caves?
Nah, that's it's rustic. It's the folk hero aesthetic.
Mm, yes.
I don't know. It sounded it just sounds lazy to me.
He's listening to a lot of folk in there. A lot of Sebastian and
I was just like, wait, you know, when you crack open a cold beer and you're just reminded of the times that you were hanging out with your pa, so he hands you your first rod.
Yep. Listen to some Sufjan Stevens or whatever his name is. That ain't going to a Bassin's thing. We can't do it now.
Nope.
I heard you say rod. I was like, don't you do it. We can't do it, man. Everything is it's too god tier now.
Well, I mean, that's where all the therapy comes from when you got handed your first rod.
Yeah. Men chasing me around, dropping balls. All ages. Okay, well, I don't have anything else to add for graphics and audio. I can see where this is going, so let's just get to our verdict. I'll sum up how I feel, ultimately, after 5-6 hours in Newtopia 2. This game is clearly trying to cash in on the success of Legend of Zelda. And even though it has some aspects that are neat, like its surprisingly good soundtrack and some like minor quality of life adjustments, like the being able to attack 8 directions, some cool spells and items. In comparison to the first Zelda, of course, it's ultimately a product of its own cheapness. And it has like no soul. It's painfully generic. And most importantly, it's not fun. It's fun for 10 minutes.
It was, I mean, at first I was like, cool, new Zelda.
Yeah. But then it becomes a slog. I'm like,
Soulless is exactly what I was going to say. It just feels like a cash grab.
It definitely is. And it's very cheap and it's hastily made. I feel there's a lot of corners they cut just right from the get-go. Like the name convention and then having those spaces, that's an easy code. Like, you don't have to have that. That's a rush job. So it gets my garbage seal of approval.
Yeah, it just goes straight into the depths of hell.
Yep.
Into the bin with ye.
Yeah, go hang out with your buddy, Iron and Blood.
Yeah.
Warriors of Ravenloft.
Two crappy fantasy titles.
Yeah. They'll have some fantasy ugly baby.
Hey, sometimes a fantasy ugly baby ends up being better, though.
It's me the name of my band.
Fantasy ugly baby.
Yeah. Fantasy ugly baby.
Ogre child.
I don't know. It's Patreon week.
Yay.
And it is time to spin the wheel. And it's literally a wheel. And you're literally going to spin it. So
spin that wheel.
This week's game is a cyberpunk kind of action RPG on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And the name of the game is Shadowrun.
It's hard.
I think I rented this as a kid and I played it for like 5 minutes and gave up because I couldn't figure it out.
Because it's so damn hard.
And now I got to play it a lot longer than that. So yeah. Join us next week for Shadowrun on the SNES. Why can't I say it? Shadowrun. I keep slurring through it. And I've got good sleep and I'm drinking kombucha.
I know we're both completely sober for this episode. We're chill, good. It's like, great, I can't speak.
And I'm just still overwhelmed with that whole New Game Plus. By the way, shout out to New Game Plus. Check them out. They are pretty much like our show, just a little different. They're great. Also, check out Main Quest Podcast, also a homie of the show. At least, you know, we're connected to those shows a little bit, one way or another now. And also, if you want to support us, please go to our Patreon. It is patreon.com/supergarbageday, all one word. Or you can just click the link in the bio. On there, we have bonus episodes. We have two different shows on there. One's called Retro Deep Cuts, which we discuss either hidden gems that people may not know about, or we have like top 10 lists and stuff. It's really fun. And then we do fun things like eat hot wings. And today we're going to be doing a what goes better on mashed potatoes than gravy challenge while I review the Super Mario Brothers movie to Mr. Miller.
Oh, you saw it.
I did. Spoiler free. But that will be on our Patreon if you care. $2 gets you access to all the bonus episodes, and $5 gets you access to our Patreon pool submission. So, which we just drew from today, and we draw at once at the end of every month. But I know what, I'm feeling a little frisky. I feel like another Patreon appreciation month is coming.
Just maybe every other month we do every Patreon.
Not every other month. List is getting big though, so we want to make sure people's money is well spent. Those games on the Patreon pool stay there until they are chosen, and you can double up your chances. If you don't want to pick a new game, you can say, all right, Super Mario Sunshine again, and it will get two chances at being drawn. So that is it.
I mean, yeah, that's the way to do it. If you really want us to play something,
it is. Yeah, like, you double it up.
Just one extra submission is
unlike
is huge.
New Game Plus, who I just had one measly little Bassin's Black Bass in there in a field of. I can't wait for that episode. Oh, all right. Join us next week. And remember, don't rip off Zelda.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not worth the risk.
Yeah.
They'll come after you.
You hear us, Hudson?
You got lucky.
Yeah, way lucky. You got so lucky. You know, like we always say, don't rip off Zelda. Yeah. All right. Cut to B.